It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We're studying the book of John, and right now we're in John chapter 12. We're getting ready to go into John chapter 13. But just before we leave John 12, let's go back and let's read a couple of verses. Verse 47 says, "And if any man hear my words and believeth not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Well, now, Jesus Christ did not come into this world to condemn anyone. He did not come into this world to judge anyone. And we've discussed this, how that one day he will judge people at the white throne. But in John chapter 3 and verse 18, we've read this and studied this in our study of the book of John. It says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." Jesus did not come to condemn. It says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." That's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. "But he that believeth not is condemned already." Jesus did not have to come into the world to judge anyone at this time. And the Bible goes on to say in that verse, "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Well, that person who has never trusted Jesus Christ is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And well, this is the reason that we as saved people, we need to be telling people about Jesus Christ. They don't have to wait to be condemned, because they're condemned already because they've not trusted Jesus Christ. So therefore, we need to be giving out the Word of God, telling people about Jesus Christ, how that they can be saved and on their way to heaven. Verse 48 of John 12 says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Not only is the person condemned already, who has not believed in Jesus Christ, but one day they'll stand at that white throne and they'll hear the sentence pronounced by the judge. And at that time, Jesus is the judge. He is the one who's going to pronounce the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Once again, verse 49, it says, "For I have not spoken of myself," Jesus says. He says, "I've not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." Now, I believe John the Apostle here is referring back to the book of Deuteronomy. And we read in chapter 18 and verse 18 of Deuteronomy, it says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." Jesus Christ came to do the will of the Father. And that verse tells us in Deuteronomy 18 that he's speaking the things that the Father wants him to speak. He's listening to the Father, and the Father wants him to tell individuals that unless they trust Jesus as Savior, they're all going to go to hell, the lake of fire. Jesus said, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." Verse 50 of John 12 says, "And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And notice the word "everlasting" there in John 12, 50. It's no mistake and no accident that that word "everlasting" is here. And it's no mistake that Jesus speaks of the Father, because John 3:16. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have" what? "Everlasting life." And that's what Jesus is speaking of here in verse 50. "And I know," he says, "that his commandment is life everlasting." His commandment was to send Jesus, to have Jesus tell people he was the Messiah, he is the Savior of the world. God's commandment was that Jesus should come and to die for the lost people of this world. And he's telling these Jews this. These Jewish people, they were gathered around. They had seen many miracles, but they refused to believe Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Well, in chapter 13, we start there now, and it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Well, we're seeing here that Jesus knew that he was getting ready to go to the cross. It was getting time for him to depart out of this world, and he was going back to the Father. And as he was preparing to go back, we see that he did what he was supposed to do. He loved his own. He came to seek and to save his own so that they could go to heaven. He wanted the Jewish people to be saved. Remember, he was born of a Jewish virgin, a little Jewish girl. And he wanted these people, his people, to get saved so that they could be in heaven one day. But guess what? He not only came and died for the Jewish people, he came and died for everyone in the world. It tells us that that John 3:16 again tells us that God wants everybody to be saved, to have everlasting life. He is no respecter of persons. Verse 2 of John 13 says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Well, here we're seeing that Jesus is getting ready to institute the Lord's, what we call the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, where saved people gather around. We see saved people here in this chapter now, in chapter 13, as they were getting ready to observe the Lord's supper. And the supper was ended now, and it had been, the devil had put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus Christ, to betray him for a certain amount of money. In verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. And after he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Well, Jesus came to be a servant. He didn't come to be a tyrant. He didn't come to lord it over people. He came to serve people. And this is something that you and I need to be willing to do as saved people. We need to be willing to serve individuals. We need to be able to serve our Lord, and we need to be able to go forth and serve the people of this world. Over and over again, I mentioned that one of the services that we perform is to supplying people with the Word of God, telling them about Jesus Christ, the living Word. And we also need to have a humble heart wherewith we are able to help our brothers, not only save people, but unsaved people. Help save people who are in need. That person who is down and out needs a hand up. And many times they don't need a hand out, they need the hand up. That hand up will come from us as the Lord Jesus Christ works through us to reach individuals in this world. But notice now that Jesus rose up early after supper, and after he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Now here's old Simon now. He's getting ready to cause another problem here. Well, it really didn't amount to anything because Jesus goes ahead and takes care of this. Simon says, "Are you going to wash my feet, Lord?" In verse 6, Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." In verse 8, Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Well, here's Peter now. He said, "I didn't." He told the Lord, he said, "You're not going to wash my feet. You're never going to wash my feet." Verse 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Well, there's a principle that we see in verse 8, where Peter said, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." There's a principle here. The person who does not receive the washing that Jesus offers will not see heaven. Jesus wants to wash the people of this world. Now, water does not wash away sin. Water will wash away dirt, but water will never wash away sin. There are some who believe that baptism would save a person. Well, that's simply water. There's nothing supernatural about water. The water simply is a cleansing agent for the body. But Jesus offers a cleansing agent for the soul. That cleansing agent, of course, is He Himself. But the person who does not receive what Jesus wants to give them, they will not go to heaven. And we see that the cleansing takes place here by the water of the Word. Read about that in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. And this is something that people fail to see many times, that Jesus will take sin away. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. It's not by water, but it's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means that we confess to Him that we're a sinner. We can't save ourselves. And there's nothing we can do to go to heaven by ourselves, that we need Him to take us to heaven through His blood. His blood cleanses from all sin. Well, Jesus told Simon, He said, I'm going to wash your feet. And Simon said to Him, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And then Peter changed his mind when the Lord said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. We're cleansed by the washing of the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Simon Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He said, Lord, if that's the case, then go ahead and wash all of me. Take care of all of me. And I would say to you today that when we receive Jesus as Savior, all sin is gone. We're cleansed from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. We're cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 of John 13, Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Now, He's not talking about Peter not being completely cleansed. He's not talking about someone who is saved not being completely cleansed here. He's talking about Judas Iscariot. He's saying that Judas Iscariot, but not all, in that verse, the end of that verse, chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, but not all. He's speaking of Judas. He says, you're cleansed, but not all of you are cleansed, because we keep reading and we find out that he is a child of the devil. He's the one who's going to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So therefore I know that he's speaking of Judas Iscariot. He said he's the one who's going to betray him. So not all of them was cleansed. Not all of them were on their way to heaven. Judas Iscariot was going to betray the Son of God. He was going to sell him for money. And he was going to, later on, we'll read about this, what was going to happen to Judas after he betrayed our Lord and sold him. Well, do you know him today as your Savior? If not, trust him. And if you do know him as your Lord and Savior, you need to trust him to take care of you in this life. He's not going to leave you, and he's never going to forsake you. You may be going through a rough time, but Jesus is there, and he's there. He's the one who can comfort you. Human beings can comfort us to a point, but it takes Jesus Christ to comfort us completely.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.